to the other side. Because it's some hot stuff. Well, I was going to get on my laptop.
Chair, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome. I would like to call this Osage Nation Health and Social Services meeting together today, September 28th at 1:02 p.m. The first item on our agenda is prayer. And I would like to ask Congresswoman Stabler if she would render us an afternoon prayer.
Be happy to. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this beautiful fall day, and all of the sounds that I can hear of people moving around outside today, and want to ask you to watch over them and watch over all of our people, no matter where they be, no matter what their condition today, that you put your loving arm around them. I ask that you watch over us and give us the help and the guidance and the spirit that we need to conduct our business. I ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler, for your lovely prayer. Madam Clerk, may we have roll call?
Unmuted.
That means I'm present.
Yes. Congressman Bickhorst.
Present.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Present.
Speaker Pratt.
Here.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present. Thank you, committee. We do have a quorum. The next item on our agenda is the minutes that are attached to the calendar invite. If you could please take a look at the September 21st minutes, please.
Chair.
Yes, Speaker Pratt.
While the minutes are being reviewed, can I be excused really quick? I'm going to switch rooms. It's really warm in here.
Certainly.
All right, I'll be right back.
this the health meeting?
Mr. Zahn, welcome.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I was waiting for the preparation meeting. I clicked on the wrong link. I'm here.
Okay, great. Glad you're here. Chair will entertain movement on the minutes.
Move to approve the minutes. 23rd.
There's a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
There's a second by Congressman Bighorst. Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say yes.
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 Yeah.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. The minutes have been approved. Thank you very much, committee. Thank you, committee. Okay, moving on. Give me just one moment here. Our next item on the agenda is ONCA 2083, an act to amend the Osage Nation Health Benefit Act at 16 ONC subsection 3-106 to prohibit the accrual of unused health benefits, establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Vice Chair Congresswoman Stabler. And Congresswoman Stabler, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair and committee. Well, I feel like I'm now, you know, just repeating myself, but this bill would amend the health benefit plan requirements and would cease the rollover funds. This is, again, in an attempt to start to manage the spending that's increasing with all of the health benefits. This would have a direct effect on the health, just the health card portion of the big national benefits that we provide. So in H, Section H of the new plan, it will take those rollovers and or accruals away. Now, we won't see this for at least 2 years, and so it'd probably be the first time we would actually see an effect of it will be in 2023. Now, we've got some money in the remaining funds. I hope they stay there. I misunderstood what Congressman Walker was trying to do the other day, so I did it now. I thought he was trying to take that $8 million away, but we still have a commitment for a couple of years is the bottom line there. And before this could actually, we could see any recovery from it. So I think it's an important discussion. It all depends on when the bill passes. If it passes, when it goes into law between this year and the next year. So I'll entertain any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. Committee, the floor is open for questions, comments.
Chair, if I could say one more thing. I guess, you know, just want to put it out there again too. I don't necessarily want to take any of these benefits away. I think that there's a way to moderate them. But one of these bills needs to pass. Whether we restrict the funding, we've got several options here. These are the two I picked. Congresswoman Rivard picked the one to shorten the enrollment time. I believe Mr. Zahn explained that they have now gone to an annual enrollment. You know, some of these things for me are just red tape. And so I'm not sure how much more red tape we can pile on. So I'm looking at more of a bigger picture. And like I said, with the other bill, it just restricts funding so that the more money we make, the more benefits there are, the less money we make, the less benefits they are. And this one actually cancels the rollover. And I know there's a lot of people out there that depend on it. I'm one of them. But that's one of the reasons that we go into debt. We go into the negative on this plan as we have, like I said, 6 years out of the last 10, is because those funds remain there and that's where we pull from until those have been expended before we move to another year. And so it's going to take probably somebody with a lot more coordination than me than to understand how that flows, but that's what we're up against. And I'm just trying to, I guess, stop some bleeding is my main thing. Thank you for the additional.
Okay. Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. Okay, committee. Any questions, concerns, statements?
Chairwoman, I'll chime in.
Oh, certainly. Any members of Congress? Sure, Congressman Walker.
Well, Congresswoman Stabler and I, we've already had this discussion, so she knows how I feel about it. I'm not convinced, and I will go even a little bit further than that and say I don't believe this rollover is costing the nation, I don't want to say any more money, but I don't think it's a significant amount. Now, the first couple of years, yeah. Once we got to year three, I mean, the nation's going to appropriate, you know, the $500 per member, $1,000 for seniors and those that are participating in the Part D and whatever the other two benefits that are available for those that are 60 years and older, I believe. Anyway, to me, there's where the rising costs lie. Congresswoman Stabler, I was impressed when I got your spreadsheet or your graph this morning. Now, that was pretty sharp. I was impressed. Good job. I appreciated that. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it and, you know, figure out exactly what it's pointing at. But anyway, I appreciate that work. We've had an actuarial study done in the past. I know on this, on the health benefit, it's been a while. I think before we do something like this, that we should have an actuarial study to say, yes, there's rising costs because of the rollover, and here is why. We don't have that. There would be an assumption that that's taking place because of the rollover. But again, take away the rollover, we're still going to appropriate $500, $1,000, and all of those that sign up for the other benefits. I'll be obviously ready for more debate on that, but I'm not convinced that the rollover is costing the nation a significant amount of money per year. I don't see it up there for now.
Thank you, Congressman Walker.
Here, this is Stabler.
Yes, ma'am, you have the floor.
Okay, so in response to that, what I think I see is because they have 3 years to spend that money, and we're doing a first in, first out, which is what we had all talked about in the last couple of years I've participated in this. That's where the continued cost is. If we didn't do that, in other words, if we fully funded it, this was an account we could afford, we fully funded it. In year four, we would expect there would be money to come back to us, but we're not really seeing that. The money was continued to be expended because there were continued enrollments and there was, a continuation. If I've got money in 3 years, they're going back 3 years to expend that money this year. So we never have a little bank to roll over. So if we cut off the rollovers, then, in other words, I'm not saying this would be an amount, but what it looks like today, right now, even though we expended almost $11 million out of the fund this past year, we would still have $8 million that we could roll forward to the next year. And there it's when you would see some recovery from those past funds. And I don't know that because we've gone on highs and lows but I was looking at what took me to that spot were those negative years, 6 years. And I guess the highest one of those was we completed one of those years with $4 million in the negative. And those have to be caught up, you know, with the rollover funds. Well, I guess there was no funds being rolled over was kind of my point. We were just pulling from the next year to pay to reimburse the last year before we could move forward. So like I said, I think this is something that does need a lot of consideration and discussion before we do it. I'm not trying to pull a knee-jerk reaction from anybody, but we've got to come up with something. And the costs are escalating because the membership is escalating. And even when I projected out, you know, a few years out, I wasn't going much higher. We're at about 15,000 members now, and that was getting us up to a little over 17,000 members. So as it grows, so does our position, and just trying to come up with some methods of fund management. So, all right.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. Committee or any other members of Congress or any members of executive, anyone want to weigh in at this time?
Madam Chair, this is Jason.
You have the floor, Mr. Zahn.
Yeah, my only comment is I apologize for jumping in earlier. I had no idea the meeting started, so sorry.
You're forgiven this time, Mr. Zahn. Thank you so very much. The floor remains open for any discussion.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Congressman Big Horse, you have the floor.
Thank you, ma'am. This is for, probably Congressman Walker and whoever has been on Congress the longest. What did the health benefit plan originally look like before all of these additions started coming in? What were our people getting? Was it $500 each year for 65 and under, and then $1,000 for our seniors, 65 and over?
Chairwoman, I can take a stab at that.
All right, go right ahead, Mr. Walker.
Well, if Alice is on the call, she's been on the Congress 2 years longer than I have, but I'm pretty sure the first couple of years it was for $500 per member, and then maybe in year two or three the $1,000 was added, and then the Part D and Part F were added about 2 or 3 years after that. So that's a quick overview on how I recollect the benefit.
Okay. Follow-up?
Sure.
Congresswoman Stabler, if we held things where they're at and still allowed the seniors the option of the $1,000 or the Part D and Part F Medicare, what else is in there that we would be cutting?
Can't hear you, Ms. Paula.
Sorry. Thank you. There are no accruals in the D and the F, basically, because those are premium payments. The accruals really come from the basic plan, as far as I can tell. And so it would just be if a senior does not have a health condition that requires those funds in the current year, they're allowed to roll those over. So they could continue to roll over and stay at a limit at $3,000 until they do have some type of a health situation that causes them to dip into those. And that would go for anybody, even those that have the $1,500. So other than that, they would always, you know, just open up a new year with a new base amount of $1,000. But it should not affect their DNF because those are premium payments.
Okay. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, committee, and anybody else who wants to weigh in, now's the time.
Chairwoman.
Yes, Mr. Walker, you have the floor.
I would also like to point out, and this is just from my perspective and things that I hear and, you know, talking to people about this benefit, it seemed to me that before the rollover existed, there was a lot of communication amongst our people. Hey, you're going to lose your $500, or if you have any balance on your benefit card, you better go spend it. If you need something. So to me, those discussions and those, that sense of urgency to go spend at year's end has diminished. I don't really hear that being talked about. I don't want to say at all, but hardly ever. So I just feel like people are managing their benefit better, and there are those that need something that they know is going to be more than $500 or even $1,000, and they can wait for this accrual to happen to allow them to go purchase something, a medical need, whatever, braces, down payment, so on and so forth. I wanted to point that out. That is from my perspective and my own experience talking to people about the card.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. Okay, well, I have a couple of things. So, in reference to Congressman Walker's just most recent comment about, you know, you better hurry up and go pay, get it, because if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. I agree. Those conversations happened. And if the people didn't need them and didn't use it, then of course they didn't. And I believe that one perspective we could look at it is that the reason they didn't rush out to spend it was they knew they then had a rollover, which goes back to comment that Congressman Big Horse brought up about what did this health benefit fund act look like pretty much in the beginning, and then how did it all change? And so I believe that when it was first put into play, and reading and all the changes that have happened, is that it was just a $500 to all constituents, and you had to use it within that year. And if you didn't, then it automatically reverted back and you lost the balance. And then it progressed in the way that Congressman Walker mentioned, on top of progressing into a rollover. I also heard talk about when that rollover did, all that legislation did get talked about a lot. And I mean, please somebody interject if I've got it wrong on the conversations that I heard, because there's a lot of times, you know, people understand things differently and they think that they know what somebody's talking about, but in actuality all the dots aren't connected. But I think I remember hearing conversation that they didn't realize that it was going to be a 3-year accrual, pretty much 2 years of a rollover and then 1 year of the current year's $500. So what I recall in those conversations is that some people thought it was just going to be a 1 year rollover, and it ended up being, you know, 2 years, which ended up being $1,500 per constituent saved up if they chose to. So, and then of course you have the elder piece of it, which I'm not going to speak to that right now, but ultimately what I'm trying to get at is that there's been a lot of change that's happened, and depending on those changes that have happened to this particular law, it's how we react as people on how we're going to utilize the card. And I'll be the first to tell you that I have young girls, they're young adults, and they use their benefit to purchase glasses. They used, we used it partially for wisdom teeth extraction, you know, things of that nature. And so it's not like it wouldn't be an absolute impact on my own personal pocket. And I've said that before, that we've done that. It's just when you look at the trends and the amount of money we have actually put into this particular fund since its inception, and I just had the clerk send you guys an email. I mean, $72 million have gone into this fund since its inception. I'm going to say that again. $72 million. I'm not saying that it's bad that we have utilized these funds on our people. But when you look at that with, there's no but, so when you look at that with how much money we've also put into the scholarship fund, which is $72 million since their inception, $144 million. And that's just a big number. It really is a big number. But ultimately, what I want our people to know and to hear today from where the perspective and the glasses that I'm looking through is that if we stop the rollover, it does not mean you lose your rollover balance that you've already been obligated to receive. And I want to talk about that aspect of it and break it down and give an example. And I could use some help from anybody else that wants to jump in that, and because I may get my years wrong and speak wrong. And I want it to be clear that if we stop this rollover and this piece of legislation is to become law, that you will not lose your current benefit or the last 2 years rollover. So an example would be that in January of 2021, you would have your 2019 and 2020 rollover balances still available to you because it is an obligation that we have met and said that you are, that is allowed to you, and they will not stop being there. The obligation won't stop being there for you to have that rollover. But then you'll also have the 2021 funds that you would get at the new calendar year. And this particular piece of legislation wouldn't actually stop the rollover until 2022 or 2023. Can somebody tell me?
2023.
Okay, so is so far, thank you, Mr. Zahn. So far, is my example correct?
Yes, ma'am. This is Jason. I can kind of add a little bit to that if you'd like.
I would love that. Yes, thank
okay,
you.
Okay, so year one on the card will be 21, 20, and 19. Year two would be 22 and 20. And year three would only be 2023. That's how it would play out.
If we stop, right?
Say again, I'm sorry?
If we stop the rollover.
Yeah. If this bill passed, year one would have 21, 20, and 19. Year two would have 22 and 20. And then year three would only be 2023 amount.
Okay. And that's when it would be just you, we go back to where we started. Whereas if you don't use it, then you lose it with no rollover. I apologize. That's my stop. Okay.
Correct. And you would also have until the March of the next calendar year to supply receipts for the previous year.
So, okay. So I'm just needing to, okay. Thank you. So, if we do this, this basically puts us back to where we were in the beginning of this particular, of this inception of this legislation, is my understanding. Is that correct?
Is that a question for me?
Anybody who wants to answer, anybody, because like we didn't have a rollover in the beginning, correct?
That's correct. I believe rollover was passed in 2013, I believe, for the 2014 year, because I was still in Congress when this was implemented, and we had an actuarial study done from the health benefit card vendor at the time.
Okay. And you had it done based on not a rollover or based on a rollover?
Based on the rollover, with the proposed legislation wanting to roll over. You know, I was the budget analyst, and I had mentioned to the sponsor of the bill, I said, this is bigger math than my head can handle. So we went through the vendor to have an actuarial look at it and then provided us a report.
Of the projected spending?
Yes, ma'am.
And the continued projected spending over what span of years?
I don't remember how many years we went out. It was probably just a couple, and this was 7 years ago. So I'm not even sure if I'm sure the clerk has you know, it in the files. So she may be able to bring it up, but I don't remember offhand.
Committee, is this something you would be interested in seeing? I realize it's an older document, but I do recall Congressman Walker mentioning something about an actuarial. I wonder if we projected and if it followed. It would just be interesting to see, I think. Okay.
Yeah, I would like to take another look at that. I agree with your comment.
Okay. Congressman Walker, I just want to add a couple more things. I know the braces were mentioned. This isn't a stab at you, Mr. Walker, at all. It's just, you know, there are other things that are mentioned that I mentioned about my daughter getting her wisdom teeth. You know, we used it for part of that. Two of my daughters have. And but we did get a referral for her wisdom teeth removal from our IHS clinic. And, you know, to a surgeon to take care of that. And we had to, of course, pay what the difference was of my private insurance wouldn't take care of. And I agree, braces are something that, you know, I too have had a daughter that had to have braces. And Paula, can I ask you, is the clinic, did I not see in it their intent to add orthodontics or a portion of orthodontics to their repertoire?
I know it's been discussed in the past, but I really can't tell you where they are on that right now.
Okay. I just would like to kind of run that down a little bit. I guess my question basically for the committee is, or even Mr. Walker, is it basically the fact that you don't want to consider voting to do away with the rollover is because the actual spending hasn't, what did we call it in the last meeting? Exceeded the actual needs spending hasn't ever caused us to end up in the red, but then Congresswoman Stabler sends us her printout and shows us that 6 years out of that time we ran into the red. So I'm just trying to get a better understanding on, I guess, why it would not even be, why maybe wouldn't even consider stopping the rollover for management purposes.
I kind of feel like that was directed at me to some extent, so I'll throw my two cents in.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that report, it is confusing at the least, and in my opinion, it's a bit deceptive as well. And because you look at it and then you see that, oh my gosh, we're way in the red. Well, and I have a little bit of grasp on how that works. I haven't completely wrapped my head around it, but it looks that way from an accounting perspective. We've had this discussion before in the past, and and I believe the treasurer even may have used the term misleading or deceptive, and maybe he didn't, but it seems like it, because we've talked about that before. I want to say that for now. I don't necessarily understand why it shows that we were in the red that particular year, because we met the requirements, we met the need. Anyway, I'll stop there.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. Congressman Walker.
Hey, Chairwoman, what was your question again? You asked a question.
I think I might know the answer based on what you said, Mr. Congressman Walker, in that we really got to the nuts and bolts in a meeting in appropriations about need. The need was met. In your opinion, the funding that we have been appropriated and what we did appropriate, or what we did amend the balance down in appropriations, is going to meet the need based on historical trending of benefits that have been spent. And that, so I think that's, I feel like that you answered my question, even though you didn't say directly, you know, why you wouldn't be for stopping the rollover, is because your argument is that we've always been able to meet the need of what has been requested on the spending side for the health benefit card or the F or D. And so you don't see the need to stop the rollover because we've never exceeded the amounts that are in the fund to cover the debits that come in on the card.
Chairwoman, this is the card.
Yes, ma'am.
I just forwarded a communication from 2013 that may have the information that you were discussing earlier from the actuarial. It should be in your inbox, for all of the members' inbox, for them to review if you would like.
Thank you very much, Madam Clerk. Was everybody able to hear that?
Yes, ma'am.
I did.
Awesome. Great. So we do have, I pulled the email up. Congresswoman Stabler, can I ask you a question about your spreadsheet? Did you take into account the liability that has never been funded?
Yes, the liability is in the revolving fund charts. If we fell into the negative, then that negative rolled over to the next year with the new appropriation. And to me, that's how we supposedly met the need. And that's why in 2015 and in 2019, you see a big infusion, because it was kind of a catch-up year to get ahead of it again. Yeah.
Thank you. The floor remains open for discussion or questions.
Tara, this is Jody. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor, second speaker.
Okay, thank you. So I've asked this before, and I just don't understand. It might be too simple. I don't know. So how is it that Congress would appropriate money to the health benefit and the citizens do not use all of their card? Wouldn't that rollover be captured in that appropriation? And then I don't see where the liability is coming from if you've already appropriated the money for the full amount, so the 500, say. So we'll use, I'll use myself as an example. So I enroll in that program and I get $500 and I don't spend all of it. Wouldn't you have appropriated the full 500?
Chair, if I could answer.
Yes, go ahead. Oh, I'm and sorry, Jason. Chair.
That's fine. Maybe Jason could help me a little bit here. So, and not meaning any direct accusations, but what it looked like to me is that that is not what happened. I think they started out thinking they were going to base appropriations on need or whatever they thought they could afford for that year. And to me, it was more the second. This is what we need to do. This is the money we need over here, but here's what we'll put in to this fund. And that was always my question looking at these reports. Are I know there had to be outstanding payments that weren't being accounted for, but then you look at the revolving fund and you could start to see that that was true. So there's not ever been a full appropriation going in based on what there is. I guess last year we kind of got to the bottom of it, and this year Jason got to the bottom of it, and he was able to look at an appropriation that would cover the current enrollment plus a percentage of growth based on past history. And so that's why there's never been any money left, because people were allowed to continue to enroll all year. So that's a bill that you've taken care of. And we just never put enough money in the pot to cover what was existing in those years. So I think we're now catching up again in 2019. And now we know exactly who's enrolled, what they're enrolled for. We know what the potential growth is for this coming year. And that's why I said in my projection for 2014, I just got up to a little over 17,000 out of 23,000 members that we have. 22-something, whatever it is. So I just think that part's been off, and I think we are getting a better understanding of what, what depending on what our enrollment is on December 31st of this year, that would tell us what the exact need would be in those past credits. I hope that helped.
Thank you, Congresswoman Stabler.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Mr. Pott, Congressman Pott, you have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think one thing that might be missing from this discussion, and I apologize if it's something that has been stated, but there is a mechanism in Osage law to allow for a lesser amount than the $500, at least for those under 65, to be the annual amount of the health benefit. So there's absolutely a mechanism in law designed to allow for this to be managed. The treasurer, by authority of law, could easily state that the benefit for fiscal year 2021 is $100, and only $100 would roll over, and people may be able to utilize prior years of rollover, and any potential liability you have is absorbed. So there is a mechanism in law for this to be managed. I don't know that that's been explored, because what we continually get is the benefits $500, the benefits $1,000 for those over 65, nothing less. I think that that's an option that could be explored at this point to potentially lessen any liability that's out there. And I think that that kind of goes to what Congresswoman Stabler was talking about as far as how did we anticipate, or what were some of the thoughts when this was founded. Well, that mechanism was put in law for this not to be a sole legislative decision every year. And I don't think that that mechanism has ever been employed by the executive branch. So that is something to consider as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Potts. And
Madam Chair, this is Jason.
Yeah, okay. If you can give me just one moment, Mr. Zahn.
Sure, no problem.
Okay, great. Yes, thank you, Mr. Potts. Congressman Potts, I do recall mentioning something about that in a prior meeting, but no, sir, it hasn't been mentioned in this meeting. And yes, I do agree with you on the premise that the Health Benefit Act does allow the treasurer to set the amount up to $500. And the two words, those are important, up to $500. I mean, I did visit with our chief recently about that particular line, those paragraphs, I mean, those two lines in there, up to $500 for people 65 and under, or it might be 64, and then up to $1,000 who are over 65 or 65 and over. So I see that could be a possible solution also, and that they would take less funding for a year or however long it need to be. And some people have debated that, well, that's a decrease in benefits and only Congress can do that. Well, the language says up to, so I guess it's a debate on what up to means. And that is one solution to look at and ask if we couldn't, you know, use some management pieces in that way. It doesn't, you know, I mean, so yes, that hasn't been brought to this table today, Mr. Potts, so thank you.
Chair, this is Stabler again.
Yes.
I just wanted to say, yes, we have lots of options here. And what you're referring to in the law, the up to, yes. And we've tried that for a couple of years. And I guess it's who's willing to take the bad rap for adjusting these benefits down. And we couldn't really get any movement on that. So that's why I'm introducing these other bills. Now, Congresswoman Rivard's bill, besides the annual enrollment being reestablished, and I believe that was through policy, I'm not sure if that was policy or law, but then this one to go into law that you have to be enrolled by December 31st. Like I said, that's two pieces of red tape that are going to deter people from enrollment. And if that's where you all want to leave it and take another look at it, okay. But clearly, I don't think we're going to get it out of executive side to really take a serious, harder look at where we are financially with this. So that's the reasoning for me bringing these up, and I'm really grateful for the discussion today. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Mr. Zahn, I forgot to give you your time. You may have the floor.
Thank you. No, I just wanted to comment on that. Also in the law, it states that the health benefit can't be reduced. I have to go look, but they're saying that we can't, that only Congress can do a change. I think it's a change to the health benefit. So we look at that, a reduction in the number would also be a change. So are those two contradicting each other? I guess that's kind of my question, because it says in there, only Congress can make a change to the health benefit.
Are you, okay, Mr. Zahn, are you asking about the comments that Congressman Potts mentioned about the treasurer has the ability to set the amount?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, because I mean that is in there, but also in there it mentions that only changes that diminish can only be approved by Congress.
Committee, anybody else want to take a stab at this?
No, I will.
Go ahead, Mr. Walker.
So my response would be that if you diminish the benefit, that's the benefit has been established by law. So I guess simple answer is yes, to diminish the benefit, that can only happen in law, which would require the Congress to take action, but the provision in law about giving the treasurer the authority to, I don't want to use the word diminish, but utilize the amount of funds that are actually in the fund to provide an amount that meets what's actually in the fund. To me, that provision is just a safeguard. So the treasurer sees that we are going to go over the amount that was appropriated without an additional appropriation from Congress. He has the ability to reduce the amount to make sure that the needs or the expenditures are paid for.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Potts, you may have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I can echo that, I think the law specifically says changes to the plan document that change the benefit amounts to be made available to members or delay payments for approved claims shall be presented to for approval by the Association Congress. So I would agree with Congressman Walker. We've provided by law, and I believe through the plan documents, up to $500. And then we've given the treasurer to set an amount below that if the funds are not there. So I would agree with Mr. Zahn that if the plan was to change the plan document number from up to 500 to up to anything less than that or more than that, that would need to come back to Congress. But to set the benefit amount, that's in a separate section of law and is a power for the treasurer to have.
Chair, this is Jody.
Yes, second speaker, you have the floor.
Thank you. So I just want to ask some questions. Again, well, my original question really wasn't answered because, I mean, I get we got a handle on it now, but what happened in the past when we began this benefit to our people? When did the liability start occurring? Was that when, so how about we go back to when did the law go into place where we say we're going to offer a rollover? And was it at that time that the liability wouldn't have been there? So it was after that law was enacted, and then I still don't understand how we end up with a liability. So if you give an appropriation, and once the appropriation is, you wouldn't exceed it, I would hope. And is that where the liability came from? I'm looking for some historical knowledge here.
Anybody want to take a stab at that?
I will.
All right, Mr. Walker.
So, second speaker, I can answer that directly, but to help you, remember whenever we had sick leave and annual leave, and the appropriation amount would be based on basically how much we are going to pay out in salaries and wages and fringe. But I think it was Callie Ketcher pointed out, you guys realize that we're carrying on the books. If all of the employees or a significant amount of employees were to quit or be fired or whatever, and we had to pay out all of this annual leave, you know, that is an unfunded liability. And I bring that up because this is, if not the same, very similar. So we've got this rollover amount, and we're appropriating based on trends and estimated amount that the nation is spending on the fund. Well, now we've got these 2 years in the rears where some people are letting this rollover take place. So they've got a, they may have, some people may not even be using it at all. And they're sitting there, I bet there's probably hundreds of people that are just sitting there rolling over year after year after year, and they've just got $1,500 on the book. And that's not how the walkers roll. This rollover discussion really doesn't apply to my family. We managed to spend our $500. But so that's how I would answer that is, we are appropriating based on need and trends and estimates based on the historical data that we've got showing how much we're spending. But we have people with balances that if they were to go, if everybody that had these rollover amounts that are over $500 were to go and spend it, that's an unfunded liability.
Chair, this is Jody in response. Okay, well, thank you. I get the concept of the accrual with the leave and what have you, but I think that, to me, a rollover just tells me that our people don't, they don't need that benefit, simply put. I would agree with Congresswoman Stabler's legislation. I would totally support this so we can, again, manage a benefit that has, it looks like, has not been managed properly. Well, we wouldn't have such a high liability. I don't think the, I don't know what the background of why we would do that rollover, but that's just my comment. I just think that I hope it doesn't sit in this committee and there's some kind of action so that we can vote on it and start managing these programs properly. This is completely out of hand. We've got a revolving fund that has a balance in it, but yet I'm not seeing the rollover amounts, and it just seems like it's out of hand. And I'd rather, I mean, it's $500. And then for the elders, $1,000, but we've got this unseen liability, and I'm just like, let's start managing our money. I think that's our duty and responsibility here. So I'm in support. I'm not on the committee, but I hope you guys take action.
Thank you.
Chair, this is Stabler. I'll make a motion to report ONCA 2083. As a due pass to Congress.
Second, this is Alex.
There's a motion on the floor, and there is a second discussion. Hearing no discussion, roll call vote, please.
Congressman Bigwars?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfart?
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Vote.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes. The motion passes. One. We are at adjournment.
I move.
Second.
All in favor, please say yes.
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 Thank you, committee. We are adjourned. Thank you.